Hey, it's Conrad Thompson, and you're listening to What Happened When? With the voice of your childhood, Tony Schiavone. Tony, what's going on, man? How are you?
Conrad, I am doing great, and it's good to have everybody here with us. We have some people lined up for our live broadcast right now. It's great to be watching wrestling with you. You may notice if you're watching on YouTube, the Batcave behind me is kind of in disarray. We're kind of moving things around here a little bit. So,
what are you doing? What are you changing up?
We got a couple cabinets. We moved a couple of the Batman cabinets behind me. You see the Shakespeare bust right there. That used to be in the corner back here. We're just changing things around. We got a cabinet. I'm just running out of space to store my toys.
Let me just tell you, I'm really impressed that you reached above your head and pointed to Shakespeare and nailed it. There was no feeling around like a blind man in an orgy. I mean, you could do local weather. I mean,
yes,
bam, you nailed it. I mean, I can't do that, but you can. And I appreciate that precision accuracy.
Mr. Schiavone. Thank you. I'm a good pointer.
You are a good pointer. And we're going to point out that today we're watching In Your House 2. We're going to watch it start to finish. And we want you to get your peacock out and watch with us. This happened back in July of 1995. I can't wait to talk about this show because I was not watching wrestling during this period. Now, I have gone back and seen this pay-per-view in subsequent years, of course, but I think I've only seen this show one time. So this will just be my second time seeing it, but I think it's your first time, right?
Oh, yeah. This was before. It wasn't too long before Diesel showed up on our show, right?
This is actually right before Nitro started.
Okay.
So Nitro started at the very beginning of September. So we're about a month and change away from Nitro beginning. So we're still a few months out from Scott Hall and Kevin Nash showing up on Nitro. But it's an interesting time because we're going to see a match that Jeff Jarrett still considers to be maybe the best match he ever had with Shawn Michaels. And then he immediately walked out. So a lot of controversy around this show. So it'll be a fun show to watch.
That'd be great. I guess the Monday Night Wars, I don't know if they really started when Nitro took the air or when Scott Hall walked on. Not so sure. But we are pre-Monday Night Wars here. So, basically, WCW's foray into wrestling would only have been WCW Saturday Night at that time.
Yeah, I think you had the syndicated shows on the weekend, but the big show, the A show at this point is WCW Saturday Night, and we know that's about to become the B show in about, I don't know, 5 weeks. Before you know it, it's going to be the C show.
I should know the answer to this. When did all the syndicated wrestling shows stop?
They didn't.
They're still out there?
Oh, I meant in WCW. Like, as crazy as this is, you may not even know this. I don't know that you and I have ever talked about this. But did you know after the final Nitro, there was still one more program that aired for WCW?
Really?
Yeah. Mike Tenay and Scott Hudson recorded it in advance of that last Nitro. They knew what was coming, so they recorded two versions. One where they were like, we'll see you next week, and one that was like,
that's it.
Hope to see you down the road. but there was the last Nitro was not actually the last WCW television show, which I don't think enough people think about or talk about. I mean, because what are you plugging or promoting on a recap, you know, syndicated show at that point when it's over?
I know. So the guys had to go back and the producers had to go back and build a show
for a now defunct company.
Wow.
Tony, tell everybody what season and episode In Your House 2 is over on Peacock.
Season 1, Episode 2. Season 1, Episode 2 on Peacock.
We're going to have a little fun today. The playback here is an hour and 55 minutes and 16 seconds, so we're going to get right into it. But before we do, Tony, I want to know, do we have a special countdown today?
Of course we do. This special countdown was discovered. As you know, my father and Lois's father, both were, veterans of World War II.
Roll Tide.
Lois's father, especially, saw a lot of action. Dad did as well, but he was not in the infantry, but Lois's father was, to the point to where he also liberated some, some concentration camps. So he was, yeah, he was right in it. And, so I'm digging through the boxes that we have, my dad's box of stuff and Lois's dad's box, which is incredible. And I found this tape. So I had this tape digitized. And oddly enough, even back then, they had heard of Conrad and Tony.
I love it.
Okay. So here comes today's special countdown.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. Wrestling Fan from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea. This is Walter Winchell. Time to watch along in your house with Conrad and Tony. Stand by. Here we go. In 3, 2, 1, play.
How about that? Isn't and we are off to the races. Look at this old school opening here. I don't remember ever seeing this one as a fan. That version fly in, like that's one I missed.
Yeah.
And here we are in the Music City. That's where this pay-per-view is taking place. So you see lots of B-roll of Nashville and cowboy hats and street signs and radio stations and country music. And it's a downtime for the business, man. But Shawn Michaels is a newly minted babyface. Of course, he was a heel going into WrestleMania that year. But the next night, Sid turned on him, so he became a sympathetic babyface. And he's on the rise on the babyface side of things. And Jeff Jarrett is our reigning defending Intercontinental heel champion. He's the world's greatest singer, et cetera, et cetera. Of course, he's never actually sang on the show, but he's going to today, or that's what we're led to believe here as a part of this pay-per-view. You were just in Nashville last week. How about the timing of that? How was your experience in Nashville, Tony?
It was great. Nashville's a great town. And the Bridgestone Arena, as you know, is right in the center of everything, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we had a wide shot we looked at. You'll know if it made air or not, but you could see the old Grand Ole Opry, which you just saw some shots of right there. And here it is, Municipal Auditorium. You know what I think about when I think about Municipal Auditorium?
Well, I know what I think about.
Ric Flair's last match. But I also think about backstage, where we tried to get as many people backstage as we had in the audience. I'm telling you, I've never done this before, but when I was leaving a venue, I had to literally push my way through people.
Everybody wanted to say they were there for Ric Flair's last match, and it became a who's who in the wrestling business. And I mean, it's when you really think about how surreal that was, I think that might be the first time, and maybe it's happened since, but it might be the only time that The Undertaker has sat ringside for a match. And I saw a picture the other day, and I was like, the front row is Bret Hart, Mick Foley, The Undertaker, Fifi, the French maid, and Kid Rock. Like, what in the world? And that was hard to believe, but 2 years ago, as folks are listening to this, tomorrow is the 2 year anniversary.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
I didn't even know Kid Rock was there.
Yeah. Front row, daddy-o.
Wow. How about that?
It was a fun time, man. But backstage you had Ray and Dominic Mysterio and Michael Hayes and Hurricane. And there was a lot of who's who folks from the WWE that were there that of course couldn't be on camera, but, hey man, this Municipal Auditorium, I kind of forgot that this pay-per-view was there. I mean, I guess I knew it was in Nashville. I just didn't even really think about that. And you know, I was just talking to, Jeff Jarrett yesterday on his podcast, My World. And we figured out, I think this is right. You know, Jeff is like Mr. Nashville, of course.
Yeah.
He only wrestled at Bridgestone twice. And once was the Battle Royal last week for the Royal Rampage. And the other time was last year against Jeff Hardy for that, you know, Texas Chainsaw Death Match, blah, blah, blah.
That thing.
But isn't it crazy that Jeff Jarrett in his hometown has only wrestled in the quote unquote big arena twice, because the majority of his career since that building's been up, he was with TNA and they weren't running that building. So
right.
Found that interesting.
Yeah, that is considering he is Mr. Nashville. That is very, very interesting. And, yeah, everybody's got to wear a cowboy hat. Everybody's got to.
Well, now, hang on now. This guy here, just so you know, that's Road Dog.
Right.
And he's called the roadie here. So he is like Jeff Jarrett's handler.
Oh, got it.
So he's a part of the largest, not largest, but he's a part of the world's greatest singer, blah, 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 blah. So he's keeping that up. And of course, he's going to have a match here with Sean Waltman.
You know, there's something about this ring area here. I guess it's the mat. I don't know. But this looks very WCW-ish, doesn't it?
How do you mean?
I don't know. Just this wide shot right here, okay?
Yeah.
It almost looks like you could put a Nitro in it, and it would look that way. I don't know. It just...
The way the hard cam is positioned, it's tighter than normal.
Right, the way the hard cam is positioned, the level of the hard cam, the color of the mat. I don't know. The mat is grayer than normal. Does that make sense? It usually, when I'm thinking about WWF stuff, I'm thinking about a white canvas, and that's a gray canvas. So this all looks very WCW-ish. I don't know why. Odd, huh?
It is odd. Mm-hmm. I want to remind everybody how young these guys are in the ring right now. Of course, our referee is Jack Doan. Sean Waltman was out first. He's only 23 years old when this match is happening. He's just actually turned 23 a few days prior. And Road Dogg has been 26 for a couple of months. So we've got two really young guys. And I don't know that everybody knows this, but Road Dogg is like Billy Gunn, and he is deceptively tall.
Mm-hmm.
I think the internet has him down at 6'3". He ain't 6'3". He's 6'4 or 6'5". And I think a lot of people think Road Dogg is like, or Billy Gunn rather, is like 6'1 or 6'2". He's like 6'5 or 6'6".
Yeah.
I mean, these are big boys that maybe we just don't always consider to be that size.
Right, right. We talk so much about weight and not height sometimes.
That's right.
Yeah, we forget about how high these guys are, so to speak. Double J is in the back locker room, and let's see, Steve Berg was asking about a timestamp. Steve, stand by. And for everybody, we are at 6:29, 30, 31, 6:32, 6:33. Jeff Jarrett just put down his drink, and my God, he is so young looking here.
Dude, it's crazy how young he is. And to know, you know, he's such a central part of this pay-per-view. I mean, they're doing cutaways in the opening match of him. I mean, he was actually the first person we saw when the pay-per-view rolled. It was footage from his music video. But he's unhappy. He did an interview just a few days prior to this with Chet Kopic, and he talked about how burnout he was from being on the road and things like that. And even when he wrestled Sean this night, he did not tell Sean ahead of time that he was walking out. Hmm. And Rhodey just... you know, looking up to Jeff and respecting his opinion and his experience. He was deferential. Brian Armstrong was here, Brian James rather, to Jeff Jarrett. So when Jeff walked out, Road Dogg did too.
Hmm.
And not a lot of people were walking out on the WWE in their hometown when they're such a featured part of a pay-per-view like this.
All right.
Love him or hate him, you got to respect old Double J. And I think a lot of people are tuned into what he's doing tonight, because it's been teased, as folks are listening to this, that we're going to hear from Bryan Danielson. And boy, did Double J have some words for him last week backstage, trying to motivate the great Bryan Danielson. What do you expect tonight on Dynamite, Tony?
Well, I expect we're going to hear the rest of that interview. Or we're going to be talking about the rest of the interview. I guess it was already put on YouTube. I have no idea what direction they're going to go with Jeff Jarrett here. But I think they have found something really good. He's a veteran, and I really like the way they presented him during the Owen Hart Foundation tournament. Mm-hmm. And I just hope they continue to use him as a veteran that everybody loves. The problem is that he walks out with Sanjay Dutt, and everybody hates Sanjay.
Everybody hates Sanjay.
As a matter of
nobody
fact,
nobody likes him.
Sanjay's got a wonderful wife and some wonderful children, and I'm not so sure they even like their dad.
No, why would they?
Yeah, right.
You know, but as soon as they can find a reason and a way to escape his evil clutches,
mm-hmm. we.
What's wrong with us?
I don't know. We were.
He's like the nicest human being that's ever.
He's the best. Sanjay Dutt is. I can't see AEW working at all backstage without him. I really can't.
He's one of the unsung heroes.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Why do you think that is? Because he's just not on television all the time and people just don't know like all the intricacies of what happens backstage, because Sanjay's a pretty important piece of the machine.
Oh my, yeah. And he is so opinionated, and I have so much fun when he gets mad backstage. It's just, I love it. Absolutely.
Who's more fun to see get mad, Sanjay or Taz?
Oh, Taz is the best.
Yeah, Taz is like the final boss of getting pissed off.
And yeah, he's, man, I just want to see and not many people have seen Taz angry to where he want to kick that he really wants to take somebody apart. And I've seen that. I helped calm him down one time. But the annoyed Taz, okay,
is super fun.
Is the best. Yeah.
You know what's fun is whenever he'll text me something, I can't help but needle him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's gotten wise to it, so he doesn't text me as often anymore. My most recent thing though was I was giving him shit. I was like, "Hey man, I guess I'll see you in Waterloo." And he's like, question mark. And I'm like, "Well, your boy Shivani's going in the Hall of Fame." And he's like, LOL. And I go, "Oh, I didn't know you had big heat with Shivani. I can't wait to talk about it on the show." And he's like, "Bro, what the fuck are you talking about?" And I'm like, "Oh, you got big heat if you're not, I mean, if you hate him, just say you hate him. I mean, don't be scared. If you're scared, say you're scared." And he's like, "Bro, do you need me to come down to your house and dump you on your fucking head? I'm not going to fucking Waterloo."
He doesn't text me anymore either. And this is why we were texting back and forth one day, and I just did stop texting. And he said, "Hey, what's up? How come I'm not hearing from you anymore?" And I said, "I just don't have 3 hours out of my day to text you." And that really pissed him off. So,
well, what's funny is he and I we got in a texting routine for a bit. And then one day, he texted me and he was like, "Do you remember?" It was random. We hadn't talked in weeks. And he's like, "Do you remember when we used to talk on the phone like men?" I don't know why, but it took me.
There's the,
we just saw a pile driver off the top rope.
Yeah.
And what a fucking finish.
Yeah. And we were talking over, but that's the way it is. Turn around.
This was a fun match. It certainly looks like at this point, you got to think that Road Dogg had a lot of potential. Or the
yes.
Road, I guess it was called.
Yes. And of course he was a big part of the Attitude Era, as we know.
No doubt.
You know what? This thumbs down stuff that you're seeing when the camera goes to all these fans and they're doing thumbs down.
Yeah.
That looks so funny. Phony. Do you know why it looks phony?
Because we don't do it now.
No, because it is. The cameraman will turn to fans and the cameraman will do this to make them do thumbs down. And so it's like they're prompted to do it. I just think it looks shitty.
Well, tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, just popping the, flipping the bird. Just say, meh.
Well, maybe they're not heathens, Tony. Have we thought about that?
Well, heathens?
Heathens.
You think heathens are the only one that pops the bird?
Yeah.
Flips the bird, or how did you say it?
This is for children, Tony. Okay. It's wrestling.
Who's that? Oh, is this on? Is this on? Who's that? Who's that? Is that Dixie Carter?
Shit, no.
Well, who is that? Who's that girl?
Well,
okay. Come on now. Hey, dude. Aren't you ready to... What the heck? What's...
By the way, here's how abrupt this departure was. The week before this pay-per-view in the Observer, It was written, they'll be filming another Jeff Jarrett music video in Denver at the Grizzly Rose on August 11th. They will introduce a line dance called the Double J Strut.
Uh-huh.
And of course we know
he strutted on.
No, they won't.
Yeah.
Man, how young does Sid look right there? That looks great, doesn't it?
Yeah. He is massive. Take a look at the King Kong Bundy. There's Rotunda.
I don't think Sid gets enough credit the way he's just staring right into the camera, not even blinking, not losing eye contact.
Right.
And they're shooting him from below to make him seem even bigger. And then there's Kama, the future Godfather, the fighting machine, comma in the background. You ever spend any time with Todd Pettengill? You ever meet him?
I don't think I did.
I can't imagine you would have.
Yeah. Who's the guy that just talked to the left of Sid on the far
that
right?
That was Tatanka. Yeah. Tatanka impression.
That was a good one, I guess.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Sid needs to whiten his teeth.
Oh my God! What's wrong with you?
Yes, I'm really in it. You need to whiten your teeth. You whiten your teeth?
Shit, no. I brush them.
I brush them too, but I brush them with a whitening toothpaste.
You're on television. You also dye your beard, bleach your asshole. You're doing everything you got to do to be a television star in 2024.
Who is this standing in front with the t-shirt? Who's that?
I don't know, bud.
Anybody know?
I wasn't watching wrestling back then. I have no idea.
Anybody in the comments know who this is?
When you find out who it is, you're going to send him a Christmas card?
No, I just like to know. I'd like to be informed of shit. Okay.
Okay. Well, you got Google at your house?
Yeah. That's what you do. You're Mr. fucking Google. Google it, some bitch.
6,482 fans are here.
I see.
July 23rd, 1995. Coming up next, we got Men on a Mission. I know you're pumped about that. It's King Mabel and Sir Mo taking on Razor Ramon and Savio Vega.
Oh my God.
Savio Vega, of course, was introduced as being a friend of Razor Ramon, and he's going to go on in 1996 to have some great matches with, I guess even later this year, he'll start having some great matches with Steve Austin. A lot of credit was given to Savio Vega for helping get Steve Austin up and going before he was stone cold in the WWF. Did you ever see any Mabel or King Mo stuff at all? Was Men on a Mission a blind spot for you, or were they on your radar?
No, they were a blind spot. But for some reason, I'm familiar with Mabel because of his size.
It's a big fella.
He's immense, man. Is he still with us?
No, he's passed away.
Huh. Somehow, guys who are, what year was this again?
This is July of 1995.
Okay, so we're talking almost 30 years ago. A guy at 568 pounds 30 years ago may not be around today.
That's accurate. He didn't make it.
Yep.
This is the July pay-per-view, of course. So it's down from the very first In Your House.
Uh-huh.
And it gets 280,000 buys here. The first In Your House got 332,000 buys. But the concept here behind In Your House, and I don't know that you and I ever talked about this, but WCW started running pay-per-views every month. Like, one of the things that Eric Bischoff did was he said, hey, we got to raise the price of the pay-per-views. And instead of doing just a handful a year, let's do them every month.
Right.
So he stopped running house shows, started running more pay-per-views. I think that's smart. Super serve the audience nationally that wants to buy in. Well, the WWF says, hey, that's a pretty solid idea.
Right.
So they're doing that with In Your House. So they've got their big tentpole events, things like King of the Ring and SummerSlam and Royal Rumble and certainly WrestleMania. But they started to fill all the in-between months with In Your Houses, and they would do these little themed pay-per-views. And so this is the second time we do it. But instead of it being at a $25 or $35 or $30 price point, they lower it to $14.95 and then later, I think, $19.95. But it's a two-hour affair.
Right.
What do you think about the idea of doing a two-hour pay-per-view for less money?
Well, since they're every month, it kind of waters down the speciality of a pay-per-view, right?
Yes.
So there's a part of me that says, yes, that's a good idea. But there's also part of me that, to me, lowers the speciality of a pay-per-view. I'm speaking in different languages this morning. I don't know why.
How great does Razor Ramon look right here, man?
Jesus. Wonderful.
Just the prototype of a pro wrestler up there.
Dude, that's a WCW ring. I don't give a shit what anybody says. That this whole look smacks of WCW. Just wow. Anyway, I don't know why I can't get over that. But there it is. Oh, look at Razor Ramon. Ugh. Hell of a job right there, dude.
It's really fun to watch Razor at his peak here. This is actually the third match on the show. There was one dark match, and it was Skip, who had Sonny along with him as his valet, and they would pick up a win over Aldo Montoya, who we know is going to go on to be just incredible. Mm. And then after the pay-per-view finishes, there are two more dark matches for those in the house. Bret Hart versus Jean-Pierre Lafitte, a.k.a. PCO. Mm-hmm. That one actually wound up being a part of the Coliseum home video release. And then there was one more dark match. It was The Undertaker versus his pal, Kama, with Paul Bearer and Ted DiBiase in their respective corners for a casket match. That was actually the longest or second longest match on the show, only behind Sean and Jeff. Sending fans home happy with The Undertaker winning a casket match. That's probably a good idea.
Yeah, it is. That's to me, you know, back in the, when I was there in the day, they would, we would tape, and this is before the Monday Night Wars, obviously, and before Raw and all that. We would record Superstars one day, challenge the next day, go out every 4 weeks or so and do that. And of course, at the end of the night, Hulk Hogan would come out.
Yes.
Everybody knew that you're going to hang around because Hulk Hogan is coming out. So that was a good way to do things. I like that. You know, when I see Scott Hall and the referee moving him back right now and Savio Vega in selling and Mabel just, damn, Mabel big. I just can't, my heart breaks for Scott Hall.
Yeah, no doubt.
It does. You mentioned Sonny, my heart breaks for her. Just,
what could have been?
Well, it could have been. It's just some cool people that had such bad things happen in their lives. So,
demons, man, you know, yep. they'll get a hold of you.
Yeah.
I put my Google machine to work, and the fellow that you were desperately trying to figure out who was wearing that shirt. I don't know if you want to send him a DM or whatever. His name's Barry Babinski.
Barry Babinski.
That's right.
See, I knew your Google machine worked.
Yeah.
Mine works too, but mine just doesn't give a fuck.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, it's kind of like me. Hey, let's say hello to some people here. And I'm going to start at the top and go back. First one up was DJ Turn Up.
Come on.
Well, Mr. Epic is with us. Alex Wheaton.
Yeah, yeah. Join
us. Yeah, baby. Coach Rosie. Coach Rosie, by the way, came to my Hall of Fame
hell yeah, he did.
Ceremony. He's the man. Thank you, Coach. We appreciate you, buddy.
Eric Jones. Is he like an unofficial mascot, you think, of our pods? He's got to be on the list. He's one of our whack packers.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Let's see. Eric Jones is here. Who else? Jim Pazinski. Hello, Jim. And I'm still scrolling down here. Oh, Brooke is here. Brooke would be the mom of the whack pack, wouldn't she? The baby sister of the whack pack, maybe.
I can see that.
Bad Money Slim with that great haircut of his.
He's the mascot. Yeah.
He's the mascot. And Steve Berg and Coach Keith just arrived about at 9:31 Eastern time, which is a little bit about 3 hours before he gets up in the morning. So there you go. There you go. Coach Keith was wondering how the Raiders are going to do this year. Like always, nothing.
Wow.
Which breaks my heart because I've always kind of liked the Raiders.
I thought you were a Redskins guy.
I was, but there are no more Redskins.
Yeah, but can't you be a Commanders fan?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I also grew up an Oakland A's fan, and you think if the Oakland A's move to Las Vegas, I'm going to cheer for them? Absolutely not.
You don't watch baseball anyway. You don't give a shit.
I don't give a shit. I change. They're going to they'll probably change the name of the Athletics to like the Las Vegas
A's.
Yeah. So who knows? So there you go.
Oh, maybe they'll be the Las Vegas Aces.
Jesus.
Yeah, I didn't really think about that, but I guess that is going to suck, man.
It is going to suck. My childhood's gone. My childhood's gone. Okay. The the Redskins are no more. The Oakland Athletics are no more. And Ric Flair's crazy. So my childhood is gone. Just absolutely gone.
That was hold on.
Coach Keith said the Raiders are going to shock the world.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
I don't know about that. I wanted to ask you about something that was in the Observer. I'm not sure if this was even on your radar, but Ricky Morton was a big part of Smoky Mountain, of course.
Right.
And in this era, I guess he and his girlfriend and Tracy Smothers and his girlfriend were out at some nightclub. The ladies didn't get along. There was some physicality involved. The police got involved. Jesus. This was a whole mess. Do you remember hearing about there being a ladies' rampage here?
No. A ladies' royal rampage?
I mean, kinda.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't remember that, but that doesn't surprise me at all. Man. Okay, so now you see, it's funny. One of the, you could just see him talking in the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. And they just got a shot of Mabel, who's getting ready to blow up sky high. Salvio Vega's an interesting character. I work with him just a little bit in
MLW, right?
MLW, that's right. Pretty cool guy. Wait, here we go again. Scott Hall with maybe the best working punch in the business.
No doubt.
Man alive. He was so good at it.
When Jeff Jarrett walked out on the WWF, do you remember people talking about that in WCW at all?
Yeah.
What was the narrative you were hearing? What do you remember hearing about it way back when?
I remember most of people going, hey, he ain't putting up with any bullshit.
Hmm.
You know, because back then, and I'm sure it still remains today, but it's not as pronounced. But back then, there was a very, very, very well known hatred for the WWF back then, from WCW,
like, and I guess the Evil Empire, maybe.
Yes, and I guess it stems from the fact that, you know, the WWF stopped the territories, kind of, or tried to put all the promoters and was very successful out of business back then. And that still was, that taste was still in a lot of people's mouth. That's gone now because of time. Time, you know, changes all. But yeah, there was a hatred for the WWF. So when that happened, everybody was kind of gleeful about it. Not everybody, but many people were. It was out there. And I mean, let's think about it, where the territories ended when? At WrestleMania? The first WrestleMania?
It didn't exactly work like that. I mean, the Memphis territory persevered on and on and on through the 90s. But I hear you, you know, by 88, most of the territories were pretty dry.
Right. But local wrestling, like Bob Geigel, like Championship Wrestling from Florida, like Continental Wrestling, like Don Owens, that stuff may have gone on, but that stuff wasn't as big a draw anymore.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think it's probably a situation where, you know, it's the early 80s. I would even say, you know, 84, 85. Mm-hmm. That's probably when it starts to really taper.
Yeah. And that's why in my career, I'm so happy I started when I did, because when I started, territories were still a thing.
So I'm just curious, how come Vince gets the heat for killing the territories, but Crockett doesn't get the heat for sending Ric Flair out all over the country to recruit talent and bring them back to JCP?
I can't answer that, with the exception of Vince started going with his show national, and his show was, we've brought this up many times, his show was so much better than everybody else's, that television program directors, television general managers looked at Vince's show and looked at, let's say, Bob Geigel's one camera shoot show and said, fuck, there's no comparison. Geigel's done. We'll take the Vince stuff. Todd Pettengill is pretty active here, isn't he?
Man, he's a great hype man. And of course, this is the supporting band for Double J, but don't you take a look on the right side of your screen. The fellow on bass with the big smile back there in the vest, that's Jim Johnston, who did all of the WWF themes in this era.
Wow.
And Jim has, he's talked about this. He does not enjoy performing live in front of people. It gives him anxiety. He's just not comfortable with it. Now, he can do whatever you can possibly imagine with almost any set of instruments in private, which is why we got all those great theme songs. But as far as performing on a stage in front of people, that was rare for him, and he was not comfortable with that. But there he is, one of the few times that we're going to see that. Oh, we see the former Michael P.S. Hayes in the background right now. How would you describe Michael's look here?
He looks like your barber in a Nashville barbershop.
I can see that.
Yeah, come on in. Come on in. I'll cut you down.
So that's Matt Coon right there. And that's Bam Bam Bigelow, a very young Billy Gunn. Uh-huh. We're going to hear from Matt Coon here.
Okay. I'm going to hear from Matt Coon.
What do you think Matt Coon's saying?
Well, here's the deal. I'm pissed off at everybody. Should have let Tony Schiavone die. Never use my music again.
Hey, that's Brian Clark. We just had him on adfreeshows.com. It's my first... You know, I've somehow managed to, in my little wrestling journey here, Tony, meet almost everybody. But when I did my interview with Brian Clark, that's the first time we ever spoke. He's one of the few guys that I've never ran across.
Wow.
You spent some time with him in WCW. What can you tell us about Brian Clark?
Just easygoing guy, and was so appreciative of getting the push with Chronic. And I like Brian a lot. I really did. And I'm sure that you feel the same way after talking to him. Pretty cool.
Such a nice guy.
Yeah.
I don't know Man Mountain Rock at all. Man, look at Vince with this outfit. Hmm. That's not something you expect to see.
No, not at all. But of course, we're Nashvilleing it up. It's almost like, look at Jerry the King Lawler there. It looks like he's a bartender in Texas.
I enjoyed seeing Bam Bam Bigelow there. You know, we talk a lot about, man, that guy just looks like a wrestler. Bam Bam Bigelow looks like a movie villain.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, one of my favorite moments
in the whole world.
Okay. Oh man, this is such a big moment in Bruce and I's fandom as part of our podcast, Something to Wrestle, because Bruce loved singing this silly song with My Baby Tonight.
Oh yeah. I've heard him sing it live on stage shows.
And here he comes. Ain't he great? There's Double J walking out on the set. The roadie introduces him. Now, normally I hate when there's a concert in the middle of a pay-per-view. I think it takes away.
Of course,
I'm not here to see that. But this is not really a concert. This isn't Limp Bizkit or Kid Rock doing their thing in the middle of a doggone wrestling pay-per-view. This is one of the wrestling characters doing a wrestling angle. And they're trying to do the Milli Vanilli thing here. The idea being, Jeff is going to lip sync, and the real life road dog, Brian James, he'll be the one singing the song. And that was going to be the big story and payoff and reveal. I kind of like that. What do you think of that story and that creative?
That's pretty cool. I like that. That's something different.
Yes.
You needed something different. Everybody needs something different. I was told one time by a boss, in my wrestling journey, looking around, he said, no idea is a bad idea. Let's throw it out there. You got to come up with something, right? And you know what? That's how they came up with the Tony Storm angle with Mariah May. Mm. Let's think of something. And everybody put their heads together. And obviously, RJ City had a lot to do with that. And was a very talented kid. I have a lot of time for him. And to me, the Tony Storm Mariah May angle is one of the best angles we've ever done in AEW.
Well, I don't think there's any question of that. Yeah. I can't wait to see the payoff either. We're just weeks away from All In. Handful of tickets still available at AEWTIX.com. I'm not going to make the trip across the pond, but it is a television for me. No, I'm going to watch it at home like I did last year. You know, I don't know that I told you this last year, but I had some WWE superstars in town because there was a house show in Huntsville the same day.
Oh.
As that show. So a couple of our friends, I probably shouldn't say their name, they came over and watched the show, and man, it was fun. And I had Jason, who you've probably met from hanging around with Jeff Jarrett, bring his son Cody down. So we had a fun little household there with a couple of pretty big time professional wrestlers watching with Jeff Jarrett's son, Cody. It was a great time, man.
Wow. That's cool. That is cool. Cody is quite the character, man.
Maybe there were two Codys there that day. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe.
Oh, wow.
Maybe there were two Flairs too. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, my God.
Maybe.
One Flair is enough. Hey,
well, two's too many.
Hey, Denovius Mac just joined us. Hello, D Mac. He was with us as well at the
Waterloo, Daddy-O.
Yeah, the Hall of Fame.
Hey, we got a big meeting with the board on Thursday, and
the Waterloo board.
Yeah, the TNT Hall of Fame board, and I'm excited because we've got a new member on the board this year.
Really?
Yeah. Mr. Mike Dawkins, our gimmick attorney, is joining the board there.
Wow. What a wonderful human being. Just of all the people that I've met in my wrestling journey, he is top two, three. Just
I'm sitting right here, Tony.
Yeah. Well, see, top two.
I see why you've been married so long now. You can bullshit real fast.
I sure can. Even Lois loves Mike Dawkins. And Lois,
who doesn't like Mike Dawkins?
I know. It's amazing.
Well, I mean, a lot of people don't, because he'll sue the fuck out of you. He just
I know.
He
was. Yeah.
But not us. You know, he might be an asshole to some people, but by God, he's our asshole.
Michael, I believe it's Quaddy, or it may be Quaid. I'm sorry, Michael, but I know how it goes when people cannot pronounce your last name. He has just joined us. We appreciate you being with us. We appreciate everybody being with us live. And I know sometimes we promote, we're going to be live, and then we have to change it up. And that's just because of scheduling. I'm sorry. We had to kind of, punt. Was it 2 weeks ago?
Anyway, you can only do so much. You know, I think people forget you're flying out twice a week to different shows, and then you're doing pickups from home.
Right.
I mean, you got a lot of stuff going on in your professional life.
Right.
But you've also got a wife and a bunch of kids and a dog and a house and a lot of responsibilities. And just the idea that you get to crank out one of these every week and then two bonus episodes for WHW Monday Patreon. Mm-hmm. That's right. We just watched WrestleMania 4's main event, and we watched some bra and panty stuff. Those are the bonus episodes for July. Mm-hmm. Check those out. And two bonus episodes for the pretty much history of what happened when, available now for you. More bonus than you can shake a stick at patreon.com/WHW Monday.
Mm. And we can check a stick at a lot of bonuses.
We probably have.
Yeah. We've.
Coach Rosie has a fun question, 'cause I know you're into this kind of shit.
Okay, here we go. Fun question.
He wants to know, what'd you think of Robert Downey Jr. being revealed as playing Dr. Doom?
Well, Coach, much like baseball and college football, I just kind of checked out of movies now. Isn't that something? Laurie, my daughter said, "Hey, Robert Downey Jr. is going to be Dr. Doom," and I went, "Yeah, so what?" I guess they're going to try to, for the first time, come up with a really good Fantastic Four movie, right? I guess that's it. So. Although I didn't mind the first couple of them, that second one was not good.
Talk to me a little bit about, I'm kind of shocked to hear that you're saying that you're done with movies.
I'm not done with movies. I don't go to the theater anymore.
Well, I'm just wondering, are you going to see Wolverine and Deadpool?
When it comes on video. Yes.
Why did you go to see Batman in the theater?
I don't know, because it's Batman.
Oh, okay. I guess. I just thought for sure you would have seen that, because I can't believe this is real. But for the first time ever, and probably the last time ever, I have somehow seen a Marvel movie before you. I saw Deadpool and Wolverine.
Who convinced you to go to the theater?
Mrs. Thompson.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not a convince. That's a rule. That's an order.
Undefeated.
Yeah.
Hey, check out this SummerSlam commercial here. Okay. I think this is probably a David Sahadi commercial. It feels like one of his.
Uh-huh.
See these old guys and old ladies cheering for wrestling.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, when they start watching wrestling, getting into it, they become young. And here comes Diesel in a Hummer, an old school H1 Hummer.
Yeah.
Picks her up right out of the rocking chair, and away they go. SummerSlam, August 27th.
That's pretty cool.
Can you believe SummerSlam is this weekend?
Wow. Cleveland? I mean,
yeah, and the Brown Stadium. But historically, it feels like it's always been in late August, and now it's like the second day of August or something like that. Like, it's crazy how fast.
I should have.
I guess it's the third.
I should have gone. I should have gone to WrestleCon, because I have the weekend off. We're recording on Thursday.
What? Oh, yeah. Good for you. So, what are you doing this weekend?
Nothing.
You gonna come hang out?
Let me check, see what mom will do.
Yeah.
I'll tell Loz. I said, yeah, we'll go to Conrad's and watch wrestling.
Yeah, that's probably not a good call. We'll do it. Good call. Good thinking, Tony.
That's right.
Good thinking.
Yeah. I mean, Lois is, for those of you who went to the Hall of Fame and she is so conscientious of her aging, which just pisses me off, because I still think I tell her, I said, yeah, you've aged. All women age. All women look different now than we look when they were younger. She was absolutely, I'm telling you this, she was absolutely, when I met her, the most beautiful woman I ever saw in my entire life. And I told her, I said, you're still beautiful. That's why when we did, you know, Living with Lois, she didn't want to be seen on camera. She was so afraid to be seen in public when we did the Hall of Fame. And she said, a fan even came up and asked me for an autograph. She said, I went back to go pee, and she just, she said, they asked me for my autograph. And I said, would you sign it? She went, yeah. She said, but I just kind of, I don't know. So she's so conscientious, and I wish she wasn't. So when I ask her about wrestling, she says, oh, I don't want to go to a wrestling match. I don't want to see wrestling. I grew up with my brothers. They were wrestling fans, and I married a baseball announcer, and this whole wrestling, this whole fandom is really kind of all foreign to me. And so when it comes to talking about wrestling or even watching wrestling, she like tunes out immediately. And it's not that she hates wrestling. It's just, that's just her the way she is, you know?
No, I get it.
Yeah. So anyway, that's it. That's all I got to say.
So to catch us up here, we've seen so far in a dark match, Skip over Aldo Montoya on the pay-per-view, Rhodey over 1-2-3 Kid with a pile driver off the top rope. Pretty good. Men on a Mission over Razor Ramon and Savio Vega. And now we had the Double J concert. Todd Pettengill was in the audience asking fans what they thought, and several begrudgingly said he did good. And now we've got Bam Bam Bigelow wrestling Henry O. Godwin.
Mm.
See, he's a pig farmer.
Yes, I had heard that.
And his name is Henry O. Godwin. That's H-O-G. That's hog. I know you love hog. There he is.
That's the first time I've realized that.
Well, his tag team partner, his brother, is Phineas I. Godwin. He's pig. So we got hog and pig.
Oh, man. Isn't that something?
I thought for sure you'd be all over hog.
And pig?
Well, I just know how much you love hog. Big hog guy.
Mm. Yeah. No. I know what you're referring to now.
No, you like barbecue pork, like our.
Oh
buddy.
Yeah, of course. No, I haven't.
Knows that about you? You eat ribs. You eat pulled pork sandwiches. You were telling me yesterday you couldn't record when we wanted to because you were busy pulling your pork.
That's right.
That's what you do.
That's what I do. I pull my pork.
Yep.
What's wrong with you? Why? I don't know. I used to be a nice young Christian man.
No, you weren't.
Yes, I was. Yeah. And what have you done to me?
When I met you, you were using the word fuck like a comma. Mm. And at the NWA Legends Fan Fest, which by the way, I think is happening this weekend. It's called The Gathering now. Let me look that up.
And would that be in Charlotte?
Yeah.
Well, some bitch.
Charlotte. What's that guy? Oh, T-Mart Promotions. Let me look that up right fast.
Whatever happened to the guy that used to put on those fan fests?
Hey, yeah, there it is. It's August 1st through August 4th this weekend at the Hilton University Place. Man, there's a lot of folks there that you know. Hypothetically, yeah. Your boy Raven's going to be there. Mountain Rock, who we just saw a few moments ago, he's going to be there. Okay. Missy Hyatt, who recently revealed that she had sex with Sandman when she was in ECW because she wanted to calm his nerves. She did it for the business.
Well, bless her heart.
And I thought that was great, man.
That was great, yeah.
Al Snow, Abdullah the Butcher, Hebner, Kyoto, the Nasty Boys, Berserker, your pal Big Show, Sid. Yeah. Foley, Masahiro Chono, Mr. Von Erich, Mr. Lawler. Man, there's a lot of folks going to be there. TMartPromotions.com. That's where I first met Tony way back when. Hilton University Place. Back then, of course, it was the NWA Legends Fan Fest, and that was ran by Greg Price. But
that's the name I was looking for, Greg Price.
TMart Promotions has taken over in his absence. And man, I had a lot of fun there and met a lot of great friends there. So I hope that you'll go out and support some folks and check them out. It's interesting that it's happening SummerSlam weekend.
Yeah. It's happening in opposed to WrestleCon.
Well, because you know, JR is doing an appearance in Hartville, Ohio this weekend too. And they've got like a bunch of stars there, like Kurt Angle and some others. So you've got like three sort of fan fest convention type things happening this weekend. Wrestling's pretty doggone hot when you've got three big time conventions.
Yeah, it is. I'm glad to see JR getting out and around too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
Him staying stuck in the house ain't good for him, man.
Nope, it's not.
I want him to get out of that damn condo and get home to Oklahoma. I thought that was going to happen, but I know he's got a routine with, you know, some of his healthcare support now in Florida, but and he's got such a great support system. He's lived in Oklahoma for so doggone long. I mean, he's Jim F and Ross in Oklahoma.
Did you see that pickup and slam by Godwin? Or of
yeah, I mean Godwin is like
I mean he picked up
Bam Bam. He's country strong.
Yeah, he picked up Bam Bam with ease. And I'm not so sure Bam Bam helped him.
I'll tell you this. In real life, I actually saw him at the bar in Charlotte at the University Hilton way back when. He was there, of course, doing an appearance. And I had never met him before. And I did a double take. So I was like, man, he looks familiar. And boy, that's a big, thick son of a bitch. I mean, his shoulders, it looks like he's wearing shoulder pads. But those are just his human bones. It's a big fellow.
That's his human bones.
His human bones.
Hey, you know what? You made a comment a few minutes ago, maybe back in the early 90s. I should have told Missy that I was nervous.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, dude, you had so many nerves back then. I mean, you were putting sun in your hair.
Yeah. I'm going to walk backstage on today and just go, oh, I'm nervous. I'm going to go to the makeup chairs going, oh, I'm so nervous. I need to calm down. Tony,
your office now.
Oh, yeah. I can't do that.
Damn it. If you were a slapdick announcer, that'd be fine. But now that you're a damn officer of the court, you got to clean it up.
Now I'm the one that says,
hey, you can't do that.
No, I'm the one. Yeah.
Or Brian Danielson.
Also, I'm the one that goes around and goes, you look nervous. Are you okay? Is there something? Can we talk? So he's got a bucket of pig slop here, right? That's what he's going to do.
I think it's salad from catering, but yeah.
Okay.
Bam Bam Bigelow gets the win here. Mm-hmm. Old hog doesn't win. Darn it. That's Bob Backlund. Well lit talking to the fans.
Vince had to be just going bananas on this one.
That there's no lighting?
Yes. On the talk back, he had to be shouting at somebody.
You know he was.
Yeah.
Wow. By the way, Britt McGall wants to know, is there any way we can arrange Taz to dump Patrick on his head? You think you could work that out for Brooke?
Oh, I'm sure there would be people lined up to drop Patrick on his head. But yeah, Taz would be really good. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I would like to see Taz dump Patrick and Adam DeMuy on his head as well.
DeMuy.
Yeah, I thought it was DeMuy, but it's DeMuy. Did you see the Bigfoot thing where he was in?
What?
There's a Bigfoot documentary on YouTube, and they interview Adam DeMuy, our own troll, and they interview him about he saw Bigfoot one time.
Man, what the fuck?
That's what he said. Lying son of a bitch. I watched it, and he said, yeah, it was right over there. I saw his hair down on his head, and he's in a rocking chair. And it's like, damn.
Wait, what is this called, this documentary?
Looking for Bigfoot? I don't know. Brooke, you may... Brooke's the one that...
Bigfoot family?
I don't know. Actually, DeMuy sent me... DeMuy sent me the clip of him in it, and I don't remember. Brooke is looking right now. He was in a rocking chair. It was just like he's on. And he claims to have seen it, so they interviewed him for it. There you go. Bigfoot lives. Wait a minute.
Coach Rosie would claim that he met him too, if it meant he got camera time.
Is this Rhodey coming out again?
Yeah, buddy.
Then he's just
Rhodey for Double J. Double J is about to wrestle Shawn Michaels.
Oh, so Rhodey.
He's the handler. He's the manager. He's the heater. He's the second. So this is our third appearance from Road Dogg. Dude's over. I mean, that's what I'm saying. They're in their quote unquote hometown. They did a concert. Road Dogg won his match. And now Jeff Jarrett's about to strut ass out here with the Intercontinental title. This is as good of a spot as you could have been in. And Jeff's like, I don't like the creative. I'm out of here.
Okay. All right. Brooke tells us Bigfoot, the Journey to Believe, episode 1, skip to the 16-minute mark, and you'll see Adam DeMuy talking about Bigfoot.
And what platform is this on?
It's on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Bigfoot, the Journey
to Believe.
Got it.
Yeah.
Oh shit, this came out this year.
Yeah, episode 1 at the 16-minute mark, you'll see DeMuy. All of you guys. So we just helped the cause of that documentary.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Man, I can't wait to not watch that.
Yeah. Maybe we should play it here.
No, I mean, I think you should. As soon as we click stop and I disconnect, let's just run the footage, you know?
That's my Bigfoot laugh. Look at this shit. Would you please?
I wish you would have rode a horse in, but dude, that hat with the lights, you know, when we started doing live shows with Bruce, my sister made a hat with BP on top that lit up like that.
Yeah.
She did it. I couldn't believe it. It was super fun.
I got to take a picture of this and send it to that son of a bitch. Wow. Dude,
the strut is so great.
Yeah.
There you go. I heard it. By the way, I want to mention, we just saw a pretty damn handsome Shawn Michaels in the backstage area doing an interview with Todd Pettengill. Maybe it was Doc Hendricks. But I like the look here. You know, Jeff's out here in white, trimmed in red, of course, with his entrance gear. But Shawn Michaels, white with the gold all over him. This is quite a look. How would you describe this look we're seeing right here? Mm. I mean, if he were to, if he were to reveal himself as being the lead singer of Queen or Motley Crue,
yeah.
Or, I mean, it looks like, I mean, he looks like a front man for a band is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. He looks like a Poison, Whitesnake.
Yes.
Yeah. Something from the '80s, right? One of those great '80s bands.
I guess I said Freddie Mercury or Queen because of the white.
Right.
Because I feel like a lot of times those other guys, they wear like black stuff. You know what I mean? Like Axl Rose wasn't coming out wearing a white jumpsuit.
But, yeah. Right.
But that's the vibe I'm getting is like frontman vibes here.
Yeah. And, you know, the long hair that's kind of wet on the ends, you know, just not poofed up, not much blow drying going on there. He looked the part, didn't he? God, he was tremendous.
I mean, just the greatest in-ring performer at this time. Like,
yeah.
In 1995, I think most people agree he's probably the best in America.
Yes.
There was actually write-ups in the Torch and the Observer saying that they felt like this leveled Double J up a notch.
This match did?
Yes.
Okay. Huh. One of the great veterans getting leveled up.
Well, at this point, you got to appreciate, you know, he started wrestling, I think, in 86. And he's only been on television here with the company for, I don't know, a couple years.
Right.
So maybe a little longer than that, but about 2 years. And so he's not exactly, you know, like Sean's been here since like 88. So people have had more exposure to Sean on a national level, I guess is what I'm trying to say. How great is that? Sean checking his reflection in the belt. I love that.
That's cool.
It is cool.
So wait a minute. Wasn't this called a lumberjack match?
No, that's the main event, Daddy.
Okay. All right.
Gotcha. This is the best match on the show.
Okay.
And it got so many good reviews. Like if you go back and you read the reviews in the Observer, the readers of the Observer gave this show 80% thumbs up in large part because of this match.
Okay.
And Sean and Jeff got 237 votes for the best match. And 123 Kid and Rhodey got 18 votes. And that was it. Nobody else even considered the matches to be the best. I mean, those are the two best.
Yeah.
But this one here, I mean, it was highly regarded. I think the Observer gave it 4.25 stars. Mm-hmm. So people really thought a lot of this one.
And again, Jeff considers this his best match, right?
Yep.
Well, I can see that. He's home in Nashville. The excitement of a pay-per-view, working with one of the greats and Shawn Michaels. And I can see the excitement that he had going into this match. And then again, obviously, when you're working with Shawn Michaels and you're athletic like Jeff is, I mean, all those together makes for a tremendous match.
Both Wade and Dave gave this match 4.25 stars. And this is an era where nobody in America got 5 stars. If you wanted 5 stars, you had to go to Japan.
Yeah. You know, when I was in wrestling at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
there were two quote unquote dirt sheets, as we called them. And that was Dave and that was Wade.
That's right.
And we don't talk about Wade that much anymore, but I know he's out there doing it.
Absolutely.
We always talk about Dave Meltzer, obviously, but I mean, Wade Keller, I guess, has a podcast and,
The Torch is alive and well.
Yeah.
He does a great job. And I know a lot of people who you like, who really appreciate his opinions. I don't know that he's breaking a ton of news like he was back in the day.
Right.
But people really respect his fair and balanced opinion.
Yeah. I've always had a lot of respect for him. And of course, you know, thanks to the internet age, any jack off can put up a website and claim they're a dirt sheet writer. Okay. But to me, Dave and Wade are the standards. That's my thought.
Well, I hate to hear that. It feels like every time I log in the social media, there's some new controversy about something in AEW, and it sometimes feels make-believe.
Mm-hmm.
The most recent one this last week, I'm sure you heard, was about this chair shot that Jack Perry took.
Yeah.
Now there's this huge discourse, mm-hmm. and you and I know that AEW takes precautions that we're not going to reveal here.
Yep.
And we know there's magic involved. Yep. That's probably the best word to use. But man, the way people get so hot and bothered about, we shouldn't be seeing that. It's like, buddy, it's a show. It's a prop. It's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But I understand that we got to create, if there is nothing controversial, we got to create controversy. But I know that there is a trick involved, and we're not going to reveal what the trick is, but it's like, guys, just watch the fucking show.
Here's the trick. Can I expose the trick?
I mean,
take fucking Twitter, delete it from your fucking phone. And guess what? There's no more controversy. They create controversy, and probably a lot of them are fucking bots, and the ones that are not bots can suck my ass. How does that sound?
Well, it doesn't sound like something I'd be interested in. Yeah. I'm honest with you.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Patrick McGall got on here. Can we block people from posting on here?
So why don't you do something?
Okay. Just take Patrick McGall and throw him in the trash can. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm kidding.
Patrick McGall wants to know, is there any truth to the rumor that Hologram is Dave Meltzer?
There's no truth to that rumor, Patrick. And thank you for your very educated question. Okay. You stupid. But I don't know if that's the case, but I do know Hologram is pretty freaking sensational, isn't it? Isn't he?
I've been really impressed with what I've seen. It feels like there's a lot of fun stuff in wrestling right now. If you're willing to go look for it, like I know I've told you this before, but I don't brag about it. I record every wrestling show and then I fast forward the motherfucker and I watch the parts I like.
Right.
Hey, I like this guy. I want to see what he's doing. Oh, not interested in that. I'm going to fast forward. I just don't understand why people want to hate watch. Where it's like, oh, I can't believe they did this. I hate them and they shouldn't be doing this set of moves.
Yeah.
I don't mean to, I'm not going to spoil the magic, but there were 10 more dangerous things that happened on TV last fucking week than that.
Yeah.
There are guys who every time they step in the ring, somebody walks out with a concussion and nobody says shit ever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we don't know about it. But then when we're at home and we see something, we're like, oh, that shouldn't be. It's like, come on, man.
Go get a fucking life. No, don't get a life. Leave this one. Leave it.
Don't leave this one. Don't say that now.
Okay. No, I'm talking about the wrestling. Not the wrestling. I'm talking about the social media sphere.
Yeah.
In other words, delete your account, which you've used before.
Yes.
Yeah. Delete your account. Go, you know what? Go donate money to dogs. Go work at an animal shelter. Go do something valuable with your life.
Instead of watching the show, how about watch a movie?
Yeah. And as Kevin Smith once said, he said, don't read about movies, go watch them.
Yeah. I love that.
I love that quote. Don't read about wrestling, watch it. Okay. And you know what? No one gives a shit about your opinion. They do not. Especially those of you who have 100 or 150 followers, those 150 don't.
You know, we've got lots of people who are watching along with us as part of our live studio audience. And this is still a controversy that people are talking about, I guess. Steve Burke says, unprotected chair shots are a shock, trick or no, just because of the stigma. But I agree, you shouldn't hassle talent about it. I just want to remind everybody, this is the same. It's not the same show, but you get what I mean. It's the same promotion. We set this motherfucker on fire a couple weeks ago.
Yes, we did.
That same match, we had a dude with a mouthful of thumbtacks.
Staples like, in their head. Just saying,
there's so much silliness. Like, if you want just absolute safety in your wrestling, don't watch it because there ain't none.
Yeah.
Like, Sky Blue, tore her damn ankle. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't anything that looked like, come on, man. Like, there's so many things about this. It's like, where do we draw the line? And I get that, but I'm saying, if we trust that they have a prop master... If we trust the talent, if we like the program, we'll watch it. But when we're going to just quietly protest or loudly protest, oh, they shouldn't do this move. Right. Based on what? I don't know. Like if everyone decides that it's fine and they want to do it, let them do it. People are still cutting their heads. Yes. What's the difference?
I know. Did you, as we're talking about injuries and guys going all out, did you see
the bump that Sean just took?
Yeah, they're going to show it here. Go show a replay again.
flew over the turnbuckle, over the post, down to the floor, crash and burn on his hip.
It's unbelievable.
By the way, that did more damage than what Jack Perry took last week.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel bad even saying that, but it's like, guys, come on.
Yes.
We're not going to spoil the magic. But if you knew, you wouldn't even mention it. You'd be like, oh, yeah, okay.
Cool. We're spending too much time on those creeps.
Dude, I agree totally. By the way, Mark Briscoe can give me that chair any day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the idea that you're watching, I love what Eric Jones says. It's a show about violence. If you don't like violence, don't tune in.
Exactly, Eric.
The name of the fucking show was Blood and Guts.
That's right.
You think they were going to play, thumb wrestling? Come on, man.
There's an idea for an angle. Brother.
Look at this old school. I love this. Why does nobody do an abdominal stretch and grab the rope for leverage anymore? That's a move from a bygone era.
Yeah. But you know, the reason it's a, JR will tell you, the reason it's a move from a bygone era is that damn referees don't mean much anymore. You know what I mean? He would say something like that. Because look what all they get away with now. I mean, we still do turn the referee's attention away and do something back, but how about when four guys, six guys are wrestling and they all go outside and start beating each other up and they're out there for, in reality, a 30 count, right? It's just so much has changed in wrestling these days that I'm just not so sure that the referee's authority is what it used to be. And it should be. If you're a cheater, you should do things behind his back. And we still try to do that, as we know. I love Jeff Jarrett's outfit. I just do.
Boy, people are just hot and bothered on this this chair shot stuff. The comments just keep rolling in.
Yeah.
Don't watch the show, bud. I mean, I don't know what to say, but it was a fucking gimmick.
Yeah.
And you fell for it and you loved it. Yeah. I mean, goodness gracious. Yep. I mean, I'm not going to spoil the magic, but goodness, if you knew, you would not feel this way. Like, just watch the damn thing, man.
Yeah.
All right. I'm way more worried about Darby falling off big ladders through glass and shit.
Yeah.
Like, way more.
Yeah. For those of you who are bitching about it online, I'd like to take an unprotected chair, give you an unprotected chair shot to your ass. Just bend over, whack. Yeah, there you go. Should have happened to you in middle school.
But I'll tell you.
They don't do that anymore.
My one takeaway, and I know we don't normally talk about current stuff, and I'll move on from this afterwards, but you mentioned to me once before, because I loved War Games as a kid, and you said early on in the show, you and I doing this pod, that you didn't like the War Games because you felt like it was anticlimactic.
Right.
You wanted to see the one, two, the fans are on the edge of their seat. Oh my God, is this it? The anticipation, here we go. And you don't get that with, okay, I quit.
Yeah, right.
And I never really got that. I remember you saying that. I've never forgot it, but I got it last week watching it.
That's right.
Because there was so much over the top violence. It was such a great match. It was just fantastic.
Right.
As far as the story and the violence and all that. And then the ending, it was like, boy, that does feel a little anticlimactic. And and the first thing I thought was, man, Tony was right, because I loved the War Games so much.
Right.
And you were like, I'd like to have seen a pinfall.
Right.
I think you're right, man. Like,
The first one, it was like JJ quit, right?
Yeah.
But you didn't really know that he quit until the referee said, ring the bell. It's like, so the man, this is, I know we've been talking about chair shots a lot during this match, but
this is the best match of 1995. It won match of the year in a lot of places. People are considering it a match of the year candidate. I mean, these guys are working their ass off, and the real telltale for me is, this is before there's a crazy sign era. It's before everybody's got a cell phone in their pocket and they're live tweeting. They're just all enthralled in the match and paying attention. And man, these fans are up and down, up and down, up and down.
Did a screenshot, sent Jarrett the picture of him with the
The hat on.
Yeah. And he said, you would look great at the announce desk with a blinking hat on.
That would be phenomenal.
Wouldn't it be phenomenal?
You should do that for the Halloween episode.
Yeah. What should the letters be?
TS.
TS. Okay. And the blinking glasses.
By the way, October 30th, mm-hmm. the day before Halloween, is a Wednesday.
Ah.
So we got a little time. You need to get the hat together, Daddy-O.
Yep. That'd be great.
Did you see that dropkick that Jeff just threw at Shawn Michaels?
Yep.
I know people are whacking off Okada, and Lord bless them, use two hands. But Jeff Jarrett might have the best dropkick of this era.
He was phenomenal, buddy.
And still looks great. Like on some level, physically, he mm-hmm. looks better now than he did then. How's that possible? Yeah. 29 years later, he somehow looks better.
Yeah, he just, I mean, and think of all the stuff that he's gone through, right?
Oh God, his life's a movie, man.
Yeah, it is. It really is a movie. And I go back, I think about the first time that we saw him on this show, going back, we took a look at Memphis Wrestling. Remember they had to carry him off like he was dead. Hmm. Remember that? He was the referee.
Yep.
Yeah. And now here he is.
His debut back in the day, I think.
That was his debut. And now he is here in the mid 90s. And now we see him in AEW. I think it was great. I think it was a great hire for us.
There's no doubt. And take a look at, I mean, really think about the context of what we're watching right now today. You've got a guy who's office for AEW and enjoying a fantastic career resurgence 29 years later in the ring. Then you've also got the guy who's created so many great stars for both WWE and AEW mm-hmm. and now runs NXT.
Right.
And then on the outside of the ring, a really critical part of the equation creatively for WWE. I mean, who would have thought in this era, especially after all the attitude and off the field problems that we had with Shawn Michaels, and on this particular day, Jeff and Road Dogg walking out, who would have thought, yeah, these guys are management material, every one of them.
Yeah.
But it worked out. People grow up. People get better.
Yeah. And people love the business and respect the business. And it's, there's so many characters that you have to deal with in wrestling. In fact, look at, oh my God, Shawn hitting the ropes.
Unbelievable.
Is unbelievable. And it was a launch, but he always hit the ropes. And I bring this up to people a lot of times. You see people hit the ropes. It's like they're scared to run towards their opponent. And I tell him, I said, go watch a Shawn Michaels match. Watch the person hit the ropes, or watch how he hits the ropes. Watch the speed and watch how great it looks. Just, Shawn was incredible. Good God.
I mean,
and Jeff too. Yes, obviously, but both these guys.
Shawn went up top, looked between his legs, mm-hmm. turned, hit the double axe handle. Mm-hmm. Scoop slam, and now from the other side, I think here comes that patented elbow. There it is. What do you think of that Shawn Michaels elbow off the top compared to Randy Savage's?
Man, it's a hard comparison because Savage's was good, but man, Michaels, because of his athleticism, to me, could fly further.
Yeah.
Savage's was the standard. I mean, we just saw it on the bonus episode.
It was fantastic.
Yeah. But
I got to tell you, I'm a little fish out of the water though with Jeff these days, because I know what a great guy Jeff is in real life, but he's been such a fantastic heel that he convinced me. I thought he was going to be the biggest asshole ever, and now he's just awesome. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying his character on TV has always been portrayed as being this heel.
Right.
And the idea that he's a babyface kind of on TV mm-hmm. is interesting to me.
Right.
I wonder where that goes, because part of me, just loving Jeff as a heel, hopes that he can somehow find a way to get some mega heat out of this. Cause I know he enjoys being a heel too.
You know what? I think, I think everybody enjoys being a heel.
Yeah.
And of course the old adage was back then, and I believe this, cause back in the early Crockett days, I hung out with the heels, right?
Right.
And I liked everybody, but they always, The old adage was the heels are the really good guys backstage.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm not so sure I believe that because there's some great baby faces, but the heels were good guys, except for MJF.
Yeah, he's not a good person.
No, he's a shithead.
Like, I think people think I'm kidding around when I say that, but he is genuinely a bad person. Mm-hmm. And I don't wish any good for him ever.
I just can't believe I was sucked into all that. But there you go. So referee bump here. Sean spit up in the air after the referee bump, which I thought was hilarious.
By the way, Steve Berg mentions, what about Marshall Von Erich? Huge drop kicks. I'm a big fan of the Von Erichs, and I was really excited to see that Dustin, along with the Von Erich boys, won the trios titles over the weekend.
Right.
Dustin hasn't won a title in a long time. He even wrote about that on Twitter. But the idea of the history of those families and seeing Mr. Von Erich there with his boys, it was a cool moment. I'm glad that AEW was able to help make that happen, because that was real wrestling history.
That was cool stuff. I was glad. I was really happy I was able to call it. And it was just very, very good night for us. There's a great false finish right there that you thought maybe for sure it'd be a finish.
1, 2, 3. There it is. Look at the fans. Look at the crowd. Road Dogg's interference and the timing and the way the match was put together was fantastic. And of course, they're supposed to be doing an interview with Jeff Jarrett right after. And Jeff is out of here. He's just going to go right to the back, grab his bags right out the back door, go to his dad Jerry's house, and him and Road Dogg are going to jump in the hot tub and chill out.
How about that?
Did you ever see the Jarrett compound back in the day?
No. Pretty I never did. Spot. Yeah.
A lot of people, I think even Cornette has talked about the fact that Memphis really started to taper when all the boys were invited to the housewarming party of sorts at the compound, because he'd built this huge house with this gigantic ballroom and had a band and caterers and all this. And
wow,
a lot of these guys are struggling to just pay rent and keep a car running and that sort of thing. And they pull up and this guy's living
the high life.
Yeah. Yeah. And so people were kind of losing a little confidence. Look at Jeff still selling dead. He hasn't moved after the super kick. So you can say what you want about his quote unquote professionalism. By the way, that's the real life Shawn Michaels girlfriend. She may have been wife at the time, but I think that's the first wife that he just gave a little sugar to on the way out.
And this moment right here. And she's in the dark.
Road Dogg accidentally clips Jeff Jarrett. He thought he was tripping Shawn Michaels. He tripped Jeff, turns around right into the super kick. What do you think about the Intercontinental title, a belt that you're very familiar with, on white leather?
Yeah, I'm not for it.
You don't like it? White?
No. It's different, and it matches Sean's outfit.
Yes.
But I'm not so sure I care about it. Didn't Mick Foley, I remember an interview Mick Foley did that said that he was the king of In Your House.
Yeah, he's Mr. In Your House.
Mr. In Your House, right.
He said nobody came through bigger when it mattered less than me.
Yeah.
Of course, Sean was Mr. WrestleMania.
Right.
And I guess, maybe Jeff is Mr. SummerSlam.
Yeah.
But, it certainly looks like Mick Foley was Mr. In Your House. Look at Eric Watts in the background. You see?
I saw that. I was getting ready to say, is that Eric Watts in the background?
Yeah. It's Duke the Dumpster Drosse.
Uh-huh.
And Bob Holly.
Right. I saw Bob Holly.
Aldo Montoya.
And then
who Vince thought looked like Jerry Seinfeld.
Eric Watts in the background. Holy shit. Why didn't JR do these? He was there, right? 95.
Yeah. This is the era where Vince is out of love with JR.
Yeah.
He would fall in and out of love. So this is the panic This is the cover, what we're seeing from Doc Hendricks here. He's yelling about how the roadie has hit Jeff Jarrett in their dressing room. So he's trying to describe what it is and explain what it is because the guys are not playing ball. So this was on the format, what was supposed to happen with these guys. And now they've said, no, we're not doing it. We're leaving. But they've got to put a button on it somehow. So we never really get a payoff for this Jarrett and roadie storyline. And it's interesting, like, in an alternate universe, what that could have looked like. And I actually asked Jeff yesterday on his podcast, because right before this pay-per-view, the WWF had a merchandise catalog come out, and he was the sole heel who had a piece of merchandise. No other heel had a piece of merchandise. It was all babyface merch, but he had a piece of merch. And so a lot of people have wondered, were they somehow going to find a way to make Jeff a babyface? That would have been really hard since they were going to sort of do a Milli Vanilli type deal, but I found that interesting.
Mm.
Next up, man, what a stud he is. There he is. Owen Hart, followed by Jim Cornette, followed by Yokozuna, followed by Mr. Fuji. They're going to be taking on the Allied Powers, who we know as Davey Boy Smith and Lex Luger. What do you think of that tag team? Owen Hart and Yokozuna.
That's an odd pairing, isn't it? The odd couple, kind of.
No doubt.
One guy who can fly and do all kinds of stuff, and the other guy who just is...
Not so much.
Not so much. Yeah, very good.
They're the tag team champs, though, and they're going to be taking on two dudes who look like a couple of badasses. I mean, what a tag team that is when you think about it. The British Bulldog and Lex Luger.
Yeah.
It does go to show you how, sadly, unfortunately, Lex Luger has fallen down the cards. I mean, a year prior, we all kind of thought, or the SummerSlam before last, we all thought he was going to win the world title in 93.
Yep.
And we thought, hey, there's a chance he'll win it at WrestleMania 10 in 94. Well, here we are in the summer of 95, and he's in a tag match. And I think this pairing was probably not good for either one of these guys from a substance perspective.
Mm.
Because this is the era. Oh, man, look at the pyro. See, Vince is behind him at least.
That's pretty spectacular, actually.
No doubt.
Those missiles flying up in the air.
Right?
Yeah. You know, I think, and I'm glad to see that we've cut down on it. I think pyro's overdone.
Really?
Yep. If everybody gets pyro on their entrance, then what does it mean?
What you're watching right now is Lex Luger's last pay-per-view match with the WWF. He's going to make his second-to-last appearance on WWF television at SummerSlam, but he's not wrestling there. He's just on the show. But we know he's going to show up on that very first Nitro. So he's on the downhill slope of his WWF run right here. But, man, like you said, the investment in the pyro, especially in 95, I mean, whatever they spent on that pyro is probably more than some of the boys' payoffs.
Mm, probably so. I saw the... Hugo and Carlos, the Spanish announce team. Carlos, of course, works for us here in AEW now and is quite the professional. Glad he's with us. Yokozuna taking his time. Give us a time code where you are, Conrad. Time check.
I'm at 122, 45, 46, 47, 48, 122, 49, 50, 51, 52. We got to talk a little bit about one of the suggestions that was thrown to us from our live studio audience. Greatly appreciate all you guys hanging out with us from patreon.com/WHW Monday. One of the suggestions was we should watch that last episode of WCW television together, the one after the Nitro, the syndicated show.
Okay.
Because you've never seen that before, right?
No. And what did they show?
You know, I haven't seen it in a long time. I don't really recall, but I think they were just probably recapping. That's a good call. Let me look that up.
Yeah, recapping. They had to recap Nitro.
You gotta, right?
I mean, what else would you talk about? Meanwhile, Davey Boy Smith sending Owen Hart in and...
Welcome.
I'm listening. Yeah.
I was wondering what Yokozuna is doing, but he just on the corner there. Mr. Fuji, one of the great rippers of all time. You've heard the story where he cooked somebody's dog?
Oh, I have.
It's a terrible story.
Do you believe that, though?
I don't believe it.
Because I've been told from old school folks.
Yeah.
Who say that, no, that story is a make-believe story. Mm-hmm. It was first told by so-and-so. And other people say, no, it happened, but Fuji didn't do it. It was somebody else. But allegedly, I mean, the version I heard, and this can't be real, is that Fuji cooked Snuka's dog.
Right. And invited him over for dinner.
And fed it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then told him it was his dog.
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
I don't believe it either. I don't believe anybody in the world is like that. I mean, I know there are terrible people that mistreat animals.
They're all, I don't know another way to say this, because I know it's not, I shouldn't say this and I shouldn't feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
But Tony, if somebody cooked my dog and fed it to me, mm-hmm, I'd kill that motherfucker.
Yeah, I would too. I would absolutely.
And I know that means I'm going to prison, but I got to stand for something. You're not going to feed me my own goddamn loved one. No, motherfucker.
Well, I don't know if I'd kill them, but I'm going to hurt them so bad that they wish they were dead.
I'm saying in that moment, I don't know that I wouldn't just fucking go off.
Right.
Like, you know, the rational thought would creep in an hour later and I'd be like, yeah, I can't kill him. I'm going to prison. And I'll just ruin his life a different way. But in that moment, I think I'd be so like, are you serious? You just fed me my dog, you motherfucker, you.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a rib. That's a crime.
Mm. By the way, the search for a replacement for Bug is ongoing.
What's the latest? Thought you had one picked out.
Yeah, I did. And then it just didn't, it's not an easy process. First part of the process is that Lois has to approve it, right? And it's not that she's not approving a dog right now. It's just that she's not so sure that a fourth dog would work right now, especially a puppy.
No, I get it, because it changes the dynamic of the other dogs.
It does. And also we've got Lois is going to go out to and we're both going to go out to the baptism of our granddaughter up in New Jersey, Matt's daughter. So we're going to be gone there, and then we're going to be gone for a whole week in London. So you get a dog now, right?
And so then September is when it happens.
I would think so. And man, I looked at a dog yesterday. I'm going to send this picture to, Silva so he can put it up online here, because it was really hard for me. I didn't say no, but it was really hard for me to put this dog down, you know,
mm-hmm,
just the way I am. And, cause I'm just a mark for dogs.
I am too. I took, before we clicked record today, I took my dogs to the beauty shop.
Yeah.
How often do you get your dogs groomed like that?
Not often enough, probably every 3 or 4 months.
Probably, you know, sure. I got these little white poodles, as you know, and my wife likes to keep their hair looking a certain way. And I used to make fun of it and think it was stupid. And I guess I'm just getting old, because now when those dogs come home, I'm like, look at these cute little fuckers. Like, why do dogs make us feel that way? It makes no sense.
Nothing like it. Unconditional love.
This morning, I thought Megan had rolled over or something, because I felt something on my back. I sleep on my right side. And so I felt something on my back. So I rolled over to like, see, because she never does that. And I'm like, man, what's going on? It was Ginger putting her foot, like she was dreaming, and she was like running in her dreams.
Yeah.
And so she's like running in her dreams, and that back leg was hitting me. And instead of being annoyed that I got woke up, I was kind of happy about it. And I was like, man, I'm glad I got to see you dreaming like that. And I'm like, what's going on with me? I'm getting old. I got woke up early and I'm not mad about it. I'm like, this is awesome.
All right. I drove back from Nashville and it took quite a while. And I got home about 3:30 in the morning Eastern time, got to bed about 4:30, because you just can't just fall right into the bed. And the next morning, Lois inadvertently had left the gate open and the door was cracked, and Scout just burst right through the door and jumped up on me, put all fours right up on my chest, stood on my chest, looking down at me with her nose. And as beagles will do, they'll sniff your beard, sniff your eyeballs, sniffy ears. And Lois said, I'm sorry. I said, no, I want to be woken up like that.
Yeah.
I want to wake up like that. I love it. Okay, we do have the picture of the dog that I looked at yesterday. So hold on to your hats on this one, kids.
Uh-oh. Oh, my gosh. How old's that rascal?
8 weeks.
I can't believe you're going to let him go.
I know. What scares me about getting this dog is that...
That might be the cutest damn Chihuahua I've ever seen.
What concerns me about getting this dog is that I'm afraid that Scout, who is so rough and rugged, Luger just did the job right here. Scout, who's so rough and rugged, would just trample her or trample him. So that's what concerns me. So anyway, I went there yesterday and held on to the dog. Something else, huh?
Beautiful animal.
Yeah, kind of got a bug look. Yeah. So there you go.
I don't know why puppies are cute, but they are.
Mm-hmm.
So Owen Hart retains his tag team championship here along with Yokozuna. It was a hot tag to Luger. He's running wild on the champs, and it was a really nice finish. I got Yoko with a double back suplex for a big reaction. And then Owen comes off the top with an elbow drop onto Luger, and that allows Yoko to pick up the pin.
Yeah.
But as you said, Luger did the job in his last pay-per-view here, and we know he's on his way to WCW. Now you see Shawn Michaels in the backstage area. They're hyping the hotline. By the way, I want to mention that white Intercontinental title that we see right there, WWE still has. Ben Brown has it in their travel case at the warehouse there in Connecticut. I was digging through that years ago, and I couldn't believe. I was like, oh, my God, this is the 95 white Intercontinental. I mean, that one, I believe, was held by not only Shawn and Jeff, but also Marty Jannetty.
Right.
So here we go. These are the Lumberjacks, and you're going to see quite a cast of characters coming down to the ring here.
I like on this, on the previous graphic, number no longer active.
Yeah.
Why do you have to do that? Why do you have to just fuck it, call it, make a mistake?
Well, I love you for that.
Okay. Let them call it. What the hell? Wait a minute. I just called a 900 number and it's about what? Click.
So there's the story, of course, of what happened the night after WrestleMania. Sid turns on Shawn Michaels. Of course, Sid was Shawn's bodyguard and his opponent from the night before. Shawn's opponent from the main event of WrestleMania, well, co-main event, the night before, is Diesel. And it's Diesel who makes the save. Well, that was in April. Fast forward to May, and these guys are going to hook it up at the first In Your House. June was the King of the Ring, and now we're back for July at In Your House 2 here in Nashville. That show was in Syracuse, New York, May 14th, 1995. And the main event was Diesel versus Sid. Diesel gets the win, but by DQ. So to make sure that there's no funny business, we've got Lumberjacks this time.
Hmm. Lumberjacks always prevent funny business, don't they?
Do they?
No, they cause funny business.
Dr. James Andrews here. Mm-hmm. I love whenever we would see a clip like that of the actual doctor there in Birmingham breaking down exactly what's going on.
Right.
The Lumberjacks for this match, by the way, are King Mabel, Sir Mo, IRS, Kama, King Kong Bundy, Tatanka, Henry O. Godwin, Rad Radford, who we know as Louis Spicoli, Skip, Tom Pritchard, Jimmy Del Rey, the Gigolo, Jacob Blue, Eli Blue. Those are the Bruise Brothers. You remember them. The Harris Boys.
Yep.
PCO, Mantar, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, Bam Bam Bigelow, Razor Ramon, Savio Vega, the 1-2-3 Kid, Man Mountain Rock, Adam Bomb, Bob Holly, Duke Drosse, Fatu, Billy Gunn, Bart Gunn, Chad Fortune, Eric Watts, and Shawn Michaels. Chad Fortune, of course, is a part of Tecmo Team 2000 or
Jesus,
whatever with Eric Watts. It was Snake Bit from day one.
Hmm. See, I think a lumberjack match should be, and I'm going to toot our own horn. We recently saw Deonna Purrazzo and Thunder Rosa on Collision, a lumberjack match, and you had Taya Valkyrie on the outside help Deonna Purrazzo win. To me, that's pretty cool. Have one of the lumberjacks, you know, help with the finish. I just saw Triple H there.
Yeah, before he's Triple H. I mean, before he's a real big star. What a crew. There's Chad Fortune right there, if you're curious who the hell that was. So now we're going to hear from Big Daddy Cool, Diesel. What? Now, I know you didn't spend a lot of time watching the WWF in this era, but did you prefer Kevin Nash as a babyface or as a heel?
Babyface, because he was so freaking cool. It's cool, man. I really think that. And of course, Hogan turning heel was the big story, and I get that. But Kevin Nash and Scott Hall being cool are kind of what drove the bus for NWO, don't you think?
No doubt.
Yeah.
And Sean Waltman.
Yeah, right.
I think Sean gets glossed over a lot. He was a big part of that. He gave that thing attitude. He gave it.
He just got glossed over by me. So you're right. Yeah. What the fuck is that?
That's Sid walking to the ring looking big as hell.
No, before that.
That was Diesel doing a promo.
No.
That was Todd Pettengill.
No. There were two goth type people in the front row.
Were you there that night?
No. One guy closed his eye. One eye looked like he was from,
Those are just Undertaker fans who were at ringside and ordered a stalk comma. Seriously, they're not characters. They're just Undertaker fans.
Okay. They had to be characters.
Well, I'm saying they're not going to jump in and start doing hot tags.
Okay. Well, so they're not going to be a part of this match. They're not going to be a part of the night.
No, there's 400, lumberjacks. They don't need two fans.
I know that.
Buddy, they're just gimmicked up fans.
Okay.
You know, y'all have a guy dressed like Jesus that comes to your show. You don't say shit.
We're back. We're back on Dynamite. We better say shit about Jesus here. Jesus. Speaking of shit, anybody been watching the dog shit Olympics?
No, I missed it.
I don't have time for that bullshit.
I'll be honest, man. We're not going to talk about it because that's not what this show is. This is supposed to be an escape from real life.
Yeah.
But I have, for the last 30 days, been more interested in political storylines than wrestling storylines, and I'm seeing the similarities. Eric Bischoff years ago did a TED talk where he compared pro wrestling and politics, and I thought he did a good job with it, but boy, has it come to fruition.
Yeah.
Politics right now are pro wrestling.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. So I've paid more attention to that than I have the Olympics. I know they had a little controversy at the beginning, but I'm just not into the Olympics this year. I don't know why, but the political angles and storylines are engaging.
Yeah.
And especially if I don't have a dog in the horse either way. I don't give a shit. I mean, I care, but you know what I mean? I'm learning to appreciate, it's wrestling. It's all just theater.
Yeah. I don't know if it's still this way or not, but you know, the Olympic athletes all stay in this dorm like area.
That's right. They do.
Do you think the NBA players stay in that dorm?
No, I can't imagine.
Of course they don't. So you know what? Putting the NBA players in the Olympics to me just ended it. Pew.
What, you didn't like the Dream Team in 92?
No, I did not. I like 1972, Doug Collins at the free throw line, us getting fucked over by the Russians. That's what I liked. That's the real Olympics. I like the American, 1980 Winter Games where we beat the Russians. With a bunch of amateur players, not NHL players. That's what I like. So there. So Sorry. And by the way, one more Olympic thing, and then we'll get to this match. One more Olympic thing. Remember when they threw baseball out of the Olympics? You know why they threw baseball in the Olympics?
Why
the Olympic the Olympic Committee said, well, baseball is not that popular. They threw baseball at the Olympics because the Major League Baseball would not stop their season to put players in the Olympics.
Hmm.
So they went, oh shit, we need players to be able to generate ad revenue and make more money for the people in the Olympic Committee. Fuck all of them. Anyway, back to the match.
I want to mention a friend of the show, Mr. Epic, says, Tony, if you need help with doggos, please let me know. I work with shelters all over the country. I know you're big on adopt, not shop. So shout out to Mr. Epic for supporting that.
Well, thanks, Mr. Epic. I appreciate that. I think we probably have your phone number on our Patreon list. So
he can DM us.
Yeah, he can DM us too.
Yeah, we can get
that. Well, I don't look at Twitter, so.
Well, just email me, bud, conrad@savewithconrad.com. I couldn't be easier to find. I got a group text from a former friend of mine. I don't like the motherfucker at all anymore.
Right.
But anyway, he texts me and another guy, and he's like, hey, this guy's trying to get a hold of you. He's got information. Here's his phone number. And I'm like, trying to get a hold of me. I'm like the easiest motherfucker in the world to find. I'm on every form of social media. I give everyone my email address. Conrad@savewithconrad.com. I'm not hard to find.
Okay. I just put up my email address. I sent it to Dave. I probably should have put it up myself, but Dave, if you can put that up for me.
Well, yeah, we're not going to put it on YouTube over at whswmonday.com, but we'll make sure that everybody here.
Okay.
As a part of our ad-free shows and Patreon family, they can have that email. Sure.
So I can put it on the comments here and it won't show up on YouTube, or will it?
That's right. If you go ahead and put it in the comments here, it'll just be for this private thing. We're not live on YouTube right now.
Okay. So I'm doing that right now. There's so many. Here's the thing about adopting dogs. You want them all.
That's right.
I do. Yeah.
So we're seeing an interesting main event. I'm not going to say it's a great main event. We got two big old fellows here. We got Sid. And of course, Big Daddy Cool, Kevin Nash, working as Diesel here. It's an okay match, but man.
In comparison?
Compared to follow what we saw two matches ago with Sean and Jeff was really, really special.
Yeah, it comes like this, okay? And in retrospect, I look back and I think, oh boy, did we make a mistake. But that's the way it is. Nothing on Nitro could follow MJF and Will Ospreay. They go a freaking hour. We got another hour left. And it was like the fans were freaking spent. They were. It was a tremendous match. Both young men should be given a lot of credit for the effort they put into that match.
Even though did you see Diesel fly over the top rope?
Yes, I did.
Kevin Nash just did a damn tope onto all the lumberjacks.
Right.
Who would have thought that would, the haters of Kevin Nash who say, oh, he's only got 5 or 6 moves. Well, yeah. I just saw a damn tope suicida.
Right.
A plancha.
A plancha. Thank you. Got a plancha. Got a cazadore. What else we got?
Look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you.
I'm well schooled, although not as well as I could be because of I'm aging. I'm well schooled by Excalibur. Excalibur's changed the game as far as play-by-play guys are concerned.
For the knowing better. All the shit, for sure.
Yeah, for the better.
Where are you at on lumberjack matches? You like them?
I don't mind them.
But you don't love them.
Well, you know, back when, in the day when I was a fan, when I heard there was going to be a lumberjack match, it kind of meant something. I mean, I was all for something different. See, here's what I like. I like the heel being thrown on the outside and the baby faces beating him up or vice versa.
Yeah. We're trying to get some sympathy here and it's hard to be a sympathetic 7-footer. So the only way to do that is to have a guy 568 pounds, slam your ass on the outside of the ring on the floor. Now, the reason they're doing this, Tony, with Mabel is because they're setting up SummerSlam for August, of course,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be Mabel versus Diesel.
Wow. Okay.
So they got to have them mix it up here. Coach Rosie has a great question.
Okay.
He wants to know, does Sid need to be in the Hall of Fame? He's actively promoting himself this week. I mean, it's kind of crazy to me that Sid's not in the Hall of Fame.
He's not in the WWE Hall of Fame?
No.
What the hell's wrong? Well, see,
I'm wondering, is that, I don't know, I should look, but maybe he sued WWE as part of the concussion stuff years ago.
He could have. Yeah.
Cause I know that's why Demolition wasn't in for a long time. Mm-hmm. But like some of that stuff needs to happen before it's too late. Like Sid and Demolition should definitely be in the Hall of Fame.
Of course. And who picks the WWE Hall of Fame now? It's not Vince anymore.
No, it was Vince. Now it's probably Hunter, I guess.
Yeah. And see, that's one of my problems.
You don't like Hunter picking people?
I don't like one person picking a Hall of Fame.
Oh, well, I mean, listen, I don't.
I think if there should be a, there should be a committee and you vote on it and you get the one with the most votes or whatever, or however they do it, gets it. That's the way it should be.
Well, that's the way we do it at the TNT Hall of Fame.
Right.
And I'll have you know, by the way, when I nominated you last year, it was unanimous.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't even have to talk anybody into it. Everybody was like, wait, he's not in? Nope. Yeah. Oh, well, he should be. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Boom.
Because back in the day when Vince, I'm not going there.
What?
I'm not going there. Back in, no, I'm not. Let's go to the match.
Oh. Little heat. Well, must have big heat. I'm going to have to tell Taz you got big heat with him. When you see Taz, as folks are listening, when you see Taz today at TV,
yeah,
you got to pull him aside and be real serious. Yeah. Real serious. Hey, can I talk to you for a minute?
Oh, brother.
Let's go in here in private.
Okay.
Hey, man, and just be as straight as you can. Don't sell it. Don't smile.
Okay. I won't be able to do it without laughing. Go ahead.
I just want to make sure everything's okay, Pete. I was talking to Conrad and he was telling me that you had big heat with me. What did I do? Can I fix it? Is there anything I can do? And his head will fucking explode.
Yeah.
It'll be amazing.
Yeah.
Because when I started talking about big heat,
yeah,
buddy, he got hot. I don't have any fucking heat with Shivani. Why do you keep saying that?
Okay.
But I forgot to tell you. So by all means, lean into it.
I can't do that because I'll die.
You'll be able to crack. You'll crack.
Oh, I'll crack. Absolutely. I'll crack.
What did I do? Will you let me fix it? Will you allow me the opportunity, yeah. Mr. Taz?
We don't, we obviously do not, quote unquote, roll tape or record our warm-up sessions,
right.
What we call the audio facts. But back in the day when JR was part of the team,
yes,
that was worth recording. And now Taz is worth recording when he's in a real bad mood.
Well, you should do it just for posterity.
Yeah.
Just record it on your phone.
Yeah. So he was in a real bad mood one time, and I called somebody over. I said, can you help us here with Taz? He said, stop it, Shivani. I don't need you quarterbacking me. Okay. I was just trying to get everybody to help you out here, dude. Dude.
Call the match, dude.
Call the match, dude. Look at IRS go over the top. Always like that Bigfoot by Diesel. I think that was one of his trademark.
There it is. I did it.
Yep.
So Sid had the power bomb. He was arrogant, didn't make the cover.
Uh-huh.
And before you know it, after a little distraction, big boot, pinfall, Sid goes down.
Yeah.
Diesel is the champ. Big hero celebration, trying to make Diesel firmly the top baby face. All the guys are in there celebrating with him. What do you think of this presentation?
I like that. I like that celebration presentation. And now he whacked Mabel.
He got body slammed on the floor and he's pissed about it. So that's setting up, you know, the next pay-per-view.
Yeah. That's pretty cool the way they set it up. Great look. Great look with Diesel in the middle of the ring and everybody cheering and a celebration. Just good stuff.
Chad Fortune with his haircut there. Looks like he's Paul Linden's cousin. Hey, DJ Turnup has a good question for us.
He does. Hold on. If it's going to be about rap, because I ain't doing it, DJ.
He wants to know if we can watch an episode of Wrestling Society X, which was an old wrestling show that was on MTV back in the day.
I guess we could.
He suggests that we watch the episode where they had 3-6 Mafia doing guest commentary.
Okay.
You a big 3-6 Mafia guy?
I have no idea what that is, but.
You know, they're coming to Huntsville. You want to go to a 3-6 Mafia Yellow Wolf concert with me and Cassio?
I do not. Because I know what you're up to.
What? It's the Orion Amphitheater.
You are up to no freaking good.
Wait, what?
You're up to no good. Okay.
I invited you to a concert and now that's a bad thing?
Yes.
What did I do to you that makes you not want to go to a concert?
Okay, they start this is the recap of the show. Got it.
Yeah, it is.
Sorry. So they just redid the open.
Well, now they're going to show you highlights, you see.
Got it. They're going to show you highlights. Got 2 minutes of highlights here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We used to do that too. On Nitro used to, or especially on pay-per-views, used to recap what we saw.
I think that sort of, why don't you think they do that as much anymore? I mean, I think they did it last year for All In.
Yeah.
But it's not a common thing all the time.
I've been told here that 3-6 Mafia is won an Oscar.
Yeah, that's right. Correct.
For what?
I believe it was, Hustle and Flow 2005 with Terrence Howard.
Okay. Okay. I didn't know if it would be for most offensive lyrics or not, or something like that.
Now, why would that be the case?
Well, you just never know. I mean, in today's society, you just never know.
The name of the song that they won it for was It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp.
How about that? So I'm not going to go. But I still may come over this weekend if I can convince Lois.
Well, I appreciate even the consideration. You know, it would be awesome to have a bona fide Hall of Famer grace these halls. I really do hope that you find a way to pull that puppy. You think that puppy will be gone by September? Can you get a puppy on layaway?
I don't know. I'm really thinking about taking Scout over there and let Scout see her. See him, because Scout is the one that concerns me. Scout will love the little puppy. She really will. She'll probably be like its mother, but she is so crazy. I mean, she literally jumps it, and she's been so hard to train, and we've had a trainer come over a couple of times. Scout's a part Australian cattle dog, and she's just wild. So, but we love her.
Well, and we love you guys tuning in with us and hanging out, watching wrestling with us every week. We have such a good time just watching old wrestling together, and we greatly appreciate you guys joining us. We hope that if you haven't already, you'll check us out on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. It's whwmonday.com. Turn on the notifications bell so you know when we go live. And check us out on Patreon, man. There's more bonus content there than you could ever shake a stick at. It's patreon.com/whwmonday. And of course, you get to be a part of our live studio audience when you do that, or if you join adfreeshows.com. Tickets are on sale for tonight's show for AEW at aewtix.com if you want to see Tony do his thing in person. And man, they've got a residency set up in Arlington, and it's a pretty cool deal.
Yeah.
Everybody I've talked to who's seen the stage and seen the building and been in the room says, hey, this is pretty fun. So go out of your way to check that out if you can. It's going to be a hard ticket to get because it is a smaller venue. So tickets are going to be sparse. So if you're thinking about it, don't hesitate. Pull the trigger now, aewtix.com. And before you know it, sort of the AEW equivalent of WrestleMania, Wembley Stadium, right around the corner, aewtix.com, All In. It is a who's who, and we're going to hear from Bryan Danielson tonight. And I don't know what to expect, but the rumor and innuendo is that his contract is coming due. There's been whispers. Is he going to pursue the world title? Is he going to retire? Maybe we'll have more answers to those questions tonight. But right now, Tony, it looks like it's about that time.
And regardless, by the way, of whatever decision he makes, we have all been very, very blessed to see Bryan Danielson's career.
No doubt. This AEW run has been tremendous.
Yeah. He's just absolutely wonderful. One of my favorites of all time. Well, the question is, will Tony go see the 3-6 Mafia in concert with Conrad, or will he watch the dog shit Olympics? And he'll do a coin flip, and it lands on the edge of the coin. That means he's not going to see either one. So, Conrad, suck it. And we're definitely out of time. We'll see you next week on What Happened When. We come to you each and every Wednesday on Cumulus Westwood One, but we come to you Mondays exclusively and ad-free on
Patreon! Patreon.com/WHW Monday, or of course, adfreeshows.com.
On hood.